I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Does the presence of pain mean the absence of God? How do you find comfort in a creator who is supposedly powerful enough to stop the discomfort? Excuse me. Quick, sanitize. Okay. How do you find comfort in a creator who's supposedly powerful enough to stop the discomfort and loving enough to prevent it? Because there's an accusation that's often made in times like this. And it's that our God must lack either the power or the compassion. And lacking either of those things would leave us with a crisis of faith. So where is Christ in our crisis? Well, the night before Jesus' own crisis on the cross, he forewarns his disciples, saying, "In this world, you will have trouble." Why? Because this isn't home. This is our home away from home, where we can develop and mature as children created in God's image. Scripture says, even though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience by what he suffered. And even those with no faith will agree that growth comes through hardship, and that endurance and resolve offer insight, empathy, and credibility that you wouldn't or couldn't build without it. High winds cause deep roots. And true artists must suffer. Yes, in this world, you will have trouble. But Jesus goes on, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, we want to forget that we're in an unwinnable war. Scripture says no man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war. It's a fight to the death that no one wins until Jesus came and became like us in order to fight for us. He won the unwinnable battle and in the process paid the price for our passage through him. There is only one confirmed hope beyond the grave. When his disciples were caught in a deadly storm, they cried out, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Of what? Dying, drowning. You see, to the degree we lack faith, we fear death. To the degree we fear death, we lack faith. Then, after forcing them to face their fears and lack of control, he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. You know why? It wasn't their time to go yet. You see, death is the harsh reality of life. We all know it's only a matter of how and when. And the only reason it comes as a shock is because we spend so much effort to mentally avoid the inevitable. And turmoil forces us to face what we really need to prepare for. Right now, the whole world is realizing that we're all in the same boat. We're at war. And we're not as in control as we think. And we're far more dependent on something outside of ourselves than we thought. And eternally speaking, that's a really, really good thing. What does it mean to be a good God? Think about that while I have a little drink of water. I'm a good dad in that it goes against my will to see my children in pain. And yet, I allowed the dentist to drill their teeth and I allowed the doctor to give them shots. Because if we don't allow certain afflictions, they'll suffer far worse afflictions. So we actually plan their short-term pain for the greater benefits of long-term well-being. And we let them play with other children. Oh my goodness, knowing they'll be hurt and mistreated. Because that's what produces character and compassion and inner strength and understanding. We wish it weren't so. We wish we could shield them. I remember when my son was 5 years old and he was screaming for my help as they were rolling him into surgery. And I, my legs gave out. I was an emotional wreck from the struggle inside between my desire to shield him from that short-term pain and my desire to save with long-term well-being. But saving love must outweigh shielding love. Remember when Jesus wept with those who were grieving? Even as he himself, Jesus, was allowing the tragedy of Lazarus' death. Such a picture. So does the presence of pain mean the absence of God? No. It means the absolute authority of an all-loving Father. Remember, the Lord has a very different perspective on death. He sees 156,164 deaths every day, give or take. To the Lord, death isn't our exit. It's our entrance into the presence of our Creator. Which is why, I suppose, the psalmist writes, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." And he'll do what it takes so the most that can be saved are. Nothing could be more tragic than a death without surrender to a Savior. And suffering leads a lot of people to that surrender by forcing us to face what we all need to be prepared to meet. Our Maker. A world without suffering would be like a fitness center without equipment, training camp without an obstacle course. You're here for a reason. We're being formed and transformed at our deepest subconscious level by His Spirit through our struggles and burdens and hurdles. He's drawing some while leading others. And there's so much we can't know, so don't judge him. But you know what we can absolutely know? That he's good and faithful and true and working a plan in this pandemic. We're being forced to deal with the reality of our mortality and to consider that which is more powerful than ourself. This pandemic has been searching our hearts and showing us if we're self-living or self-giving and ready or not to face death without fear. The stories of Scripture make one thing very clear. Chaos is never evidence of God's absence. It's His arena, is where He works. It's His obstacle course. True then, true now. We're told that His power is perfected in the midst of those moments when we're forced to face our weaknesses. True even for Jesus. It says in Hebrews, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. But it didn't stop the cross. Why? Why didn't Jesus' reverent prayers stop the cross? Because mankind's eternal best outweighed Jesus' temporal horrific pain. And it was enough for him to know that he was heard and reassured. God's plan and Jesus' purpose turned the worst possible tragedy into the greatest possible triumph and into the ultimate expression of God's love and power. Who could have seen that coming? No one, not us. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. How could we possibly know what's best for all mankind's eternal well-being? Obviously, whatever he's doing requires us not fully understanding. He's building something. Us. You. Me. And when we get to see behind the veil, we'll understand how it's always been the perfect plan. Can't be anything less, or all is lost. That is when you can judge for yourself. For now, he's only offered partial explanations. But then, sufferers don't need explanations. Sufferers don't need philosophies or theologies or spiritual formulas. They need a loving creator and a reliable redeemer. And they need those who are in the boat with them to remind them that they have just that if they want. The only answer that can truly satisfy the soul is a good father who never forsakes, a savior determined to save, all loving, all powerful, and all purposeful, and just waiting for his children to grow up and understand. Let's pray. Father God, our all-powerful, all-loving creator and eternal caregiver, we worship you for your saving love to each one of us. Holy Spirit, help us to use our hurdles and burdens and tragedies wisely. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for overcoming this old world and paying the price to provide us with safe passage. And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.